And you can put it up if you have it. Okay, if not, I will read it right here. Okay. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." 22 says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." 23 says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Yeah, exactly. Wow. So Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 7, and he's teaching various truths and various principles to the people. He's talking about judging not one another. If you start in verse 1, you know, I'm not going to do a long, drawn-out overview of that scripture, but he's talking about not judging one another, not being a hypocrite. You know, a hypocrite is one who looks at a speck in a brother's eye but has a plank in his own. He's telling them to watch out how they handle things that are sacred. You know, don't give it to the dogs. He's saying those that you should ask and you should seek and you should knock. Everyone who does these things would receive and will find and will get open doors. And he says to watch out for false prophets and brethren that come in sheep's clothing, but they're wolves on the inside. He tells them to look for the fruit, because you can tell a good tree, because a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. He says, if you're always hearing a man or woman of God being guilty of open sin, for example, adultery, fornication, stealing, murder, lying, if we take it deeper, always being prideful, we look at the heart, lustful, selfish, unforgiving, impatient, having no self-control, you need to be on guard. But we eventually come to this scripture that I wanted to focus on tonight that the Lord led me to. And it's talking about our relationship with the Lord. You know, one example I wanted to use was I've gone to the store, unfortunately, on more than one occasion, and I made it to the store, and my wife knows this very well. I've gotten to the counter, picked up all the stuff I wanted, and guess what? I didn't have what I needed. I had nothing didn't have my wallet, nothing to pay for those items. So there's no way to authenticate to the store that you can give me what I came here for. And then I can walk out because I didn't give them what was required to satisfy that mutual exchange. One more little example. I used to walk on campus, and from time to time, I used to notice some pretty faces walking across the campus. And some of those pretty faces were some people in here. Of course, my wife. And she had some friends, Mrs. Renata Robinson and Miss Tiffany. She doesn't come here. But while I was on campus, I saw them. I didn't know them. I didn't even know their names at the time. But I saw them, and I never spoke to them until after I graduated. What would have happened if I'd have walked up to my wife at that point and just started kissing on her and hugging her and doing things that, you know, that that's not becoming? I would get some strange looks, you know. I might even get a physical reaction, and maybe even some, you know, she wasn't saved always, and of course didn't know the Lord back then, so some certain choice words might have came across her tongue, but rightfully so, I think, at that point, my wife would definitely say, depart from me. I don't know you. You know, she didn't know my name. She didn't know who I was. She didn't know my aspiration, my goals, my desires, where I came from. Like I heard someone say one time, he's like, who is you, you know? You know, there's a lack of a true relationship at that point, you know, with both of these examples. You know. In this scripture, it made me consider what it is to know the Lord. You know, many of us do great things, and we use the Lord's name all the time, and, but does the Lord know us? Does he know us intimately, on a soul level? You know, we really have to examine our hearts, and we have to examine our motivation. You know, many people, you see them in this world strive to be known by men, to be great in the world, to be liked and followed in some way, shape, or form. You know, they like that attention from men. We all know the name Beyonce. We all know the name Jay-Z, Drake. Well, most people. And somebody recently told me one of Drake's songs had 1 billion views on YouTube. Yeah. Certain young man over there. It has a great following from a worldly perspective. Making some good money. A lot of money. But, you know, to strive for those things, is that what the Lord really wants? And what's the motivation behind it? We got people and kids and that try to strive to be popular at school, to be, you know, well-liked and, you know, have a certain interest of certain persons or, you know, opposite sex. All of that effort, all of that time that we spend on certain things, is it, how worth it is it? How much can these individuals do for us? You know, does it compare to what the Lord can do for us and does for us? Now, these are, I'm not knocking, you know, these people I mentioned are talented individuals, and you know, God gifts us all, you know, he created us. You know, we're made in his image. You know, but what happens when they die, when they meet Jesus? You know, how much can they really say that they knew the Lord and he knows them? You know? Let's look at motivations. You know, why do we want to do the things that we want to do? You know, there's many in this world, you know, we want that nice big house, or we want that that nice car and the rims and that bumping system and you know, we want to look like so-and-so. We want the long hair or the, you know, the fade or the locks, you know, like so-and-so. And, you know, we have many that aspire to be great in various aspects, you know, great football player, basketball player, actor, actress, you know, to be popular. In and of these things, in and of themselves, these things are not bad, but just like money. Money is not bad. You know, as they say, it's immoral, neither good or bad, but it's the love of that money, like the Bible says, that's a problem, you know, because it causes certain motivations that are not right. It's the motivation behind how you use the object, you know. Is the gun bad, you know? It's how you use that thing. You could use it to rob, you can use it to kill, or you could use it to protect. You could use it to find something to eat, you know. How you use YouTube, how you use Facebook, you know. What's your motivation behind these things? Do you use it to tear down, or do you use it to build up and lift up and encourage? So to be known by man is one thing. To be known by God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is something else. You can get fame down here. You can get fortune. You can feel great. You can feel loved. But in all honesty, those things are temporary. We ought to be concerned for those who come. Excuse me. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, we see that it says, and I kind of didn't give the sound booth the ideal way to get scripts because, you know, I was pressing in. I appreciate their patience in providing the scriptures as best as possible. So for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know anything, do not know anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So it is temporary. It is a temporary thing to look for the applause of men, to look for, you know, to make your mark in this world, in a sense, you know, from a worldly perspective. So, going back to verse 7, chapter 7, verse 23. Can y'all put that back up for me? Verse 23. And then it says, "Will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You look at what it says, them, unto profess unto them. Who are they? Is what he's talking about in that scripture. These are the people that profess or believe to have a relationship with the Lord. People that are considered to be the church. It was one thing back then with the Pharisees, you know, to profess to know the law and to know God as they did, but they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They didn't believe he was Lord. But there are those who work in the church and serve in the church and do great works in the name of the Lord, you know, who prophesy, who teach, who serve in ministries. You know, we all who serve in the church. You know, I'm back there many times in AV ministry, and we got people that work in the nursery, the ushers, greeters, people who work security. When we say we do it in the name of the Lord, but do we do it on the level of knowing Him with a motivation in our heart for the Lord and not the applause of men? Do we want to hear our name called? That's one of the things that, now that I know the word the way that I know it, is actually a struggle for me whenever I do hear my name called. You know? Now, I know the Bible talks about it, let another man praise you. And you know, it's good that we do work unto the Lord, but that motivation, do we want to continue to hear our names called? Because our desires are for the praises of men and not to be known by that one man who we serve ultimately. If we look at one level to know the Lord, John chapter 14, verse 5, 7 through 11. John chapter 14, verse 7 through 11. You got Philip and Thomas who are in a conversation with the Lord. And, you know, he's talking about where he's about to go. He's trying to give them somewhat of an understanding, you know, as best as he can, where, you know, what's about to take place. And there's a little struggle there. But look at what he tells him in 7 through 11. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. There's one level to know the Lord based on the works that he does, but there's a deeper level, more intimate level that should come in our knowing the Lord, because deep calleth out the deep. You mean to tell me that I worship and I know pastor, I put sermons in for him, and, you know, you may serve as an usher, like we said, and sing praises to him and serve him in various ways. But you mean to tell me I might not know the Lord or he know me? Of course, as we say, it's good to do these things. But as he says in verse 23, to meet him and to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you, is something we never want to get to. You never want to hear that when that time comes, when you've lived your life and all the things that you have done over the course of your life, you want to make it count. We really get tested in our motivations for the Lord. You know, what happens to our devotion when things don't go the way we expect? You know, when we're in ministry, if we make plans and those plans get changed or those plans you know, don't happen the way, I'm back there in the booth much of the time, and y'all see, things don't take place the way they're supposed to at times, and sometimes I'm like, oh, there's some Ashkenazis in these computers. And, but I'm there for the Lord. I'm serving, you know. It's not about my glory, you know. And, and it's not about, you know, what we look like. But the main focus is the word still comes forth. And we support the will of the Lord and what's taking place and what he wants. Our motivation and our desire, you know. Like when I'm back there, I want Pastor to be able to have what he needs and what he asked us to do. You know, like I said, it may not work out, but, you know, I stay in prayer still that he's able to, you know, you see him much of the time, things take place, and he's able to still flow in the Spirit, you know. I know those things. The Lord and his word and the work he's doing is not dependent upon these things. These things support and help, you know, help us to see and to visualize. But his word and his spirit is what's the main thing, the main thing. So one second here. So I want to go into how the word of talks about knowing the Lord. But, you know, sometimes you get our minds can, you know, debate things sometimes and just those thoughts, you know. Somebody might be saying, well, is there a conflict here? Because I thought the Lord knew us, you know, because Jeremiah verse 1 says, before we were formed in the womb, you know, he knew us. But there's one thing we got to make sure to understand in the Lord and his God and his omniscience, his all-knowingness, and our God knows those who are his, you know. Like he knew Jeremiah, he formed him in the womb, he gave him a purpose, and he gave him his will to be a prophet. The Lord will know us, but there are some things that definitely come on our part and our responsibility to seek him and to get an understanding, to know him. And just to practically break this down as best as possible, the Lord kind of summed up, we know his law. We hear the Ten Commandments all the time, and you know, if you come to this church or you hear the word preached over the stream, and however, if you're reading your own, reading the Bible on your own, we know there's a lot of law, and that we can't keep every piece of the law. That's why we need the Lord, you know, because we fall short. We were born into sin, Satan and iniquity, and you know, there's not a person here that should take more than 5 minutes to think about something that you've done wrong. You know, you may be doing wrong, you know, may have in your life right now a struggle. We all fall short. But as we strive, as we come to understand and recognize that we are sinners and he is our Savior, you know, he sums up the process of knowing him. He gave us two things to focus on. loving the Lord with all our hearts, all our minds, all our souls, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. You have to have God to make it possible. That's first and foremost. We have to know the Lord and understand who he is. You know, he's the fulfillment of prophecy. He's the visible image of the invisible God. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. He has to be not only said that he's the Lord, but he has to be the Lord of our, he has to be on the throne of our hearts, you know. Does he direct your decisions? Does he order your steps? Or are you still doing that? Are you doing what you want to do? Or are you seeking his will? Good questions to ask ourselves. So, what's in our hearts as we love the Lord with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our souls? What's on our minds? What's part of our desires and our mind, our will, our intellects? You know, they describe, you know, what people talk about a lot of times, the heart towards God. And we see in the parallel scripture, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, it speaks about our minds and our hearts. NIV says, "This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest." It's going to be on our hearts, on our minds. Our minds soak up information constantly, you know, from every one of our senses. We have those five senses, you know, the excuse me. And these things, if you read the word and you hear the word taught, a lot of times you hear certain references to things in the world, that certain physical examples and characteristics and that explain everyday things, that helps to give us understanding of spiritual concepts. And it helps our minds to grasp that, because it's not, the spirit is not something you can just take and hold right here, and you can't see it. You can feel it, but you can't see it. But the Bible talks about seeing and tasting, and you know how when Philip and Thomas was talking to the Lord, and he said, "Have you not seen me? When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And excuse me. When you have hear in our hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you know, do we listen? You know, do we listen when the word speaks? Do we hear and examine and take that word? And you know, we talk about the word being fed, and when it's taught and when it's preached, it's like something being served up. Do we take it and use it for nourishment? When the word is spoken, when it's sung, do you constantly have it on your mind? Do you read scriptures throughout the day, or reference scriptures? And I know one of the things that I try to do is, especially when I'm struggling with something, I go to the word and find where the word deals with that, and try to meditate and keep that on my mind throughout the day, and try to keep seeking the Lord and pressing in toward him, because there's no other solution that's going to work. You know, we can try solutions from the world, and I know people that, you know, they struggle with depression and struggle with this and that, and, you know, medicine, it may do something for you and temporarily, but as they say, there's a God-sized void that can't be filled with anything else but God. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure we touch the Lord, and, you know, we taste and see that he is good, and, you know, God, he'll fellowship with us when we seek him and when we look to know the Lord for ourselves. We reach out with our hearts, he'll reach out back, you know. We know and believe that he's able to provide for us. You know, the word says he will give us the desires of our heart. You know, excuse me. If you want to be married, want that husband, want that wife, don't do it on your own. Do not do it on your own. Go in prayer now before you make the choice. And I'm blessed. I'm not referencing my own situation. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I have seen people who have made that decision and on their own and struggle much. You know, do you want that new car, that new house, the job, the children? He's able to provide. But you got to make knowing him the desire. And as you know him, as you fellowship with him, as he talks with you and you talk with him, and as he teaches you and he leads you, lo and behold, you may have exactly what you need. He knows what you need, and he knows when you need it. He'll give you the desires of your heart.
Thank you.
That little weather's been acting up. One thing with when we do have these relationships, like we desire with the Lord, we desire that deeper relationship on a deeper level. I know from being married that you don't have a marriage until you truly have the desire to love like Christ loves. Like he told us men in Ephesians 5, you got to love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What's the point in having these things? You know, like we said, the marriage, the car, the house, if you don't have the right desires, those motivations we talked about, if you just want to show it off, you know, look what I got. You know, unfortunately, as people, we can be subject to that flesh taking over and that flesh leading us, you know, to want to be lifted up with pride and and have what we have and do what we do to show men, as we said. So what do you do when you get what God gives you, when you have the relationship, and how do you handle it? When you get that new car, that motivation, are you going to use it for his glory? Can you pick people up for church? Or is that off limits? Ready to commit murder when one scratch comes on it? And you know, it don't last. You know, we just moved into a house, me and my family, and there's things that took place it's not perfect like it was when it wasn't perfect, but things in this world happen, especially when you have kids. And especially when you're clumsy like myself. But what you gonna do with that new house? Is there a Bible study in the plans? Is there a worship with the kids and the family and with the wife? Is there potential to help somebody out, you know, as you live, as you pray, and as you're in fellowship with the Lord, cooking a meal for somebody? Going into loving our neighbor as ourselves. We love the Lord with all our hearts and all our minds, but are we going to love our neighbor as ourselves? Jesus talks about this in the same chapter, verse 12. He says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men do, that they should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." We got to be mindful of not just being for ourselves, loving the Lord, but if he's in us, we ought to love others. Might say, what is love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind. That's the definition you want. You don't want the world's love definition, because it's going to mislead and misguide you. You know, don't get caught up on what these TV shows say and what these beautiful little fairy tales and happily ever after and it takes work to love, right? Love is patient. So to be patient, that means you got to deal with something so you can have patience. Love is kind. When somebody doesn't treat you like you feel they ought to, can you be kind back? How are you going to treat your neighbor? Love does not boast. It's not envious. Doesn't seek its own. These are challenging things, you know, when we're dealing with people, not just our household, but other people, whether it's in the church or on the job. It's difficult people. And the Lord takes it even deeper, you know. He says, love are your enemies. So, I got into this because I realized that as we seek the Lord, he shows up and we seek and ye shall find, knocking the door shall be open. He'll come and connect with us as we truly seek and looked at, I mean, you don't have to have all the knowledge of the world, the word, and, you know, look at the criminal on the cross, you know. He just met Jesus. Jesus told him, you will be with me in paradise. He acknowledged who the Lord was. He believed in who the Lord was at that time. You will be with me in paradise, the last stages of his life. Now, you don't want to wait till the last stages of your life to do it. You want to be blessed right now. You want to know the Lord right now. But you should be able to be in his will and operate in these things and loving your neighbor as yourself as you get to know him. Jesus talks about, he kind of breaks it down actually through the Spirit working in Leviticus chapter 19. When we look at that, it reads, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, and you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of the vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God." If you love him, you're not going to use his name in vain. It means too much to you. It's not going to be a common name. "I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf. You shall not put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God." Excuse me. "I am the Lord. You shall not do no. Excuse me. You shall do no injustice." Excuse me. "You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of the neighbor, of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, because you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So loving God, loving neighbor. I thought about someone in reference to walking this out. You know, somebody who wasn't in the sense of a household name, and I'll look. I was thinking about my father. Excuse me, y'all. Y'all have heard my father's. Y'all have heard my father's name mentioned at this church. You know, he was well known in the city of Opelousas. You know, and he had many accomplishments. He was a good father, school teacher, principal, school board administrator, and eventually became the first black mayor of Opelousas. And somebody else I thought about. How many of you have heard of? And his name was John Joseph. But how many of you have heard of someone called Cecile Joseph? This was the woman behind the man, and the mother of his 8 children. Like I said, he was well known in the community. Everyone knew his name. You know, that I remember going places, like, even out of town. It's like, just like not. Like they do with pastors, but it was like, "Hey, Mr. Joseph, I know you." But this woman, she was from a broken home, was adopted, never knew her father, never knew her brothers and sisters. But she was always in the back seat. You know, he was in the forefront much of the time. And she didn't garner much attention. But I know a woman, I know her being a mother, and being a faithful mother, but being someone who loved the Lord. She taught me much about loving the Lord. Many times reading scriptures, reading Bible stories, walking out, loving the Lord, all our heart, all our mind. It was times when she had struggles in her life. And she would go to the Word. I see her sitting on the couch. I see her reading through those Psalms. She pressed in. That was her true source. And, you know, loving her neighbor as herself. And she was always, you know, many people know her, that she was always wanting to be hospitable. And if ever anybody came over to the house, they always knew that she was going to put something in their hands. And, you know, I knew this woman to be a, she wasn't a perfect woman, but she was a praiser. She was a choir director at our old church and kindergarten teacher. And she sold into all eight of her children, all myself, all seven of our brothers and sisters. And, you know, I remember many nights of her staying up while one of us might have been sick. You know, going to the Lord in prayer over us. And I spent much time, probably more time around her than I did him. And praise God for my dad providing and doing what he was doing. He was a servant, and but he was very busy. But I saw greatness in her. Didn't have a great speaking gift, not a public greatness, but she walked out. She walked out her mothering well. She was in God's will where she was. She took care of her home. She made sure we all had the clothes we needed. You might, excuse me, might not have had everything we needed, especially when we were first coming up, you know. Our pizza was a piece of bread with some cheese thrown on top and some wieners and some ketchup. Had 8 miles to feed. You know, God blessed them as they matriculated through the, you know, society and serving the Lord, and thank God for that. But I wanted to say that to say is, like, no matter where you are, you serve the Lord. You seek the Lord. Right now, where you are, no matter what you're doing, you know, if you don't know the Lord, you need to know him. You know, if you know the Lord, you feel only a little bit, keep seeking him. There's a will for you. There's a purpose for you. You know, being here is great. You know, we come as imperfect people. None of us here have it all, know it all. We need the Word of God. We need his Spirit. And don't get tripped up by where you are right now. You know, we are a work in progress. Some of us are further along than others. But let him come into your heart and use you where you are. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. Don't feel your position is any less than anybody. You know, You might be a janitor. He can use you greatly. How many people's lives can you bless by being at a school and serving the Lord and having joy and speaking the word? He can use our pastor, a great, a lawyer, you see what he's doing. Like my mother, and then look at how she blessed and worked through eight children and got eight families, eight kids married. And excuse me. Don't let Satan stop you. While we have breath in our lungs, keep pressing in. Now, it's good. Just wanted to kind of touch on a little something here. It's good. Let's look at our time. It's good when people give us kudos for something, but as we said, let another man praise you, but don't let it go to your head and your heart. Just serve the Lord. And yeah, that time is, I think we've done what we needed to do. Yeah. We're just praying that the Lord would speak and he lead. I don't want to get stuck to the paper. Actually, get out a few minutes early. So, how you want to handle it, my brother? So,
amen, amen, amen. I'll give Brenna. Deacon Brett touched on a lot of points today. One thing that stuck out with what he said, what's your source? Yeah. What's the source of your joy? What's the source of your happiness? What's the source of your well-being, And I can remember looking to a lot of other things that brought me sadness as my source. I was looking through, through the liquor. That's I was right. looking through the smoke. I was looking to the clubs. I was looking through the women. I was looking through having material things. And I thought that was my source. But every time I went to them, all they gave me was a lot of pain and sickness and depression. I can remember being in the club and, thinking I was having a good time, but I was really depressed. I was really low, But I had to come to the end of myself. I had to look at myself in the mirror, and I had to, be real with myself, check myself before I wreck myself. I had to think, I say, man, Anthony, what you doing to yourself? Or are you going to spend the rest of your life looking to things for happiness, looking to people for satisfaction, I was really low. And a lot of us right now, baby, seeking happiness, seeking fulfillment in another person, a job, education, clothes, cars, hair. But I found my source in somebody. And his name is Jesus Christ. He knows my name. He knows everything about me. He knows I'm going to mess up sometimes. He knows, I'm not perfect. But he knows my name. He knows my name. And if you want him to know you today, in spite of all the things you've done wrong, in spite of all the times you've messed up, in spite of all the times you have did people wrong, if you want him to know your name, there's a few things you got to look over. There's a few things you got to dwell upon. First, that You're not perfect. All of us have done something that's wrong. All of us have sinned. There's no not one that has not sinned, including myself. I can remember when I was looking in that mirror, I was like, man, there's no way I can fulfill the things that I know are right. There is no way I can fulfill these things. And I can remember, man, thinking about my cousin telling me about a man, talking about a man that changed his life. And his name was Jesus Christ. And he did something for you. All those sins, all those times you've done wrong, deserves punishment. The wages of sin is death. And guess what? He died on the cross and he paid those wages in full. And he did it just for you. Just for you. So today, if you want to make him, you know, make him your Lord and Savior. If you want him to know your name, if you want him to, you know, dwell upon you, cry upon you, pray upon you, there's some things you got to do. And I want everybody to bow their head right now. Repeat after me. Lord, you know me. You know I've done some things that's not right. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Come into my life, Lord. I've tried everything to change. But tonight, I want to try you. Lord, change me. I want to do right. I want to follow that straight and narrow. But I need your help. Spirit, fill me up. Seal me. Come into my heart. Lord, I just want to thank you. I believe what you've done on that cross. 2,000 years ago, you thought of me. And Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want to serve you. I want to change. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen, 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 amen. Deacon Brett, we want to thank you for the word. And I ask that you might give a little benediction to the people of God before they leave.
May God be with us all as we leave this place today. And may God cover us. Know that he desires to know you. Whether you're going home to a house by yourself, there's somebody that knows you. Whether you're feeling down and lonely and are depressed, he knows you. Look to know him. Get down on your knees every day. Ask him to sup with you and to be with you, and he won't leave you hanging. He will not leave you hanging. He's a man of his word. He's done it over the course of thousands of years, and he's not going to stop now. So, Lord, we pray that tonight, Father God, whatever the little bit I said, Lord God, it may not be in great coherence, Father, but I pray it would bless someone, Father God. I pray, Father God, that there was understanding giving to someone where they are, Father God, that they can come to know you as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Son of God, that they would see the Father in you, and that you were in the Father, and they would be filled with your Spirit, Father God. God, I pray, Father God, that they love you with all their hearts, all their minds, all their souls, Lord God, and that they would love their neighbor as themselves, Father God. Walk in it, Father God. Not just say it, not just say, Lord, Lord, because they know this life is temporary. We're getting older every day, Lord God. This flesh is failing. They will meet you one day. We will meet you one day. And we want you to say, I know you. Come here, my child. We love you, Jesus. Keep us all safe as we travel home tonight, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Chosen generation, we've been called for to show His excellence.